With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Peter!
We're back with more Crown Jewels 2018. In my head, I always think Royal. It's not Royal because they've already got the Royal Rumble. They must have been gutted that they couldn't sort of...
Yeah.
That for crying out
the
loud.
Crown Jewel. I began looking at it and I began thinking, I wonder if like anyone looked at it and sort of said, it's got the word Jew quite prominently. Does that make it look like we're sort of trolling and goading? I wasn't sure, but I'm sure nobody has thought about it in those terms other than me. We are talking about the Crown Jewel 2018, probably the worst ever show put on by the WWE. Not just because of the context in which it was started, but its in-ring stuff is wank. It's properly wank. I make notes for these, Pete, and this is a first for me. So that is, normally I'd be like, I'd do a couple of pages in each match. There'll be something, you know, that I pull out. I do the first four matches in half a side there. And there is one match here that I've got nothing for.
So it was a bit of a forgettable one.
Wasn't it?
But I mean, they were all forgettable. But I've not written much for anything, really, I would say. Jeff Hardy's face paint is horrible. His boggly eyes he's got.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
He's never really sort of... He does his thing. But if you said to him, so what is it? He'd just sort of go, I'm not getting into that, man. You go, you don't know. You don't know. You just turn up and you're like, I'll see where it goes today.
Yeah.
And you're not great at drawing.
No.
So it's always just a bit, you look at it and just go, nah, didn't quite work. Appalling. This show starts off with the World Cup. This is a one-night tournament for a trophy we've never seen before and will never see again. These one-night tournaments do not work. Traditionally, they were used in wrestling to get people over.
Mm.
So you would have that thing of someone who'd been bubbling under, you would finally get the big win and it would be in a tournament so they could beat champions, they could beat people. It didn't quite matter so much, but it was a good way of getting people over. You can look at the King of the Rings, for example. They were a good a way of, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, his King of the Ring victory really pushed him over. And it was a sense that the company was saying, this guy is good enough to beat all of the others and he's going places.
Yeah.
What you get with this one is a perfect example of how not to book a tournament. Because what they've done is they've gone, everyone here is on the same level. There's no one going to break out of the pack. If they beat one of them, it doesn't matter because... they're all on the same level. And there is no creation of stars or point to this.
Mm.
It's made even less point to it by the way that they choose to end the fucking thing. The first match we have is Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton. They get a big introduction in the stadium with a lot of their achievements. And I think this was slightly a way of trying to say to their Saudi paymasters, these aren't just random people. These are elite performers within the world of wrestling, even though you've not heard of any of them. Because you haven't watched wrestling in 15 years. And so you get Rey Mysterio coming out. Terrible costume on Rey.
Yeah. I can't really remember, to be honest.
He's got like an Andre the Giant singlet, but with yellow legs.
Right, yes.
Like a sort of shit drawing of a wasp.
And he's got his number on it. His little number he's very fond of.
619. I believe that's the area code for Los Angeles or San Diego. I can't remember which one it is. But again, just being really into things like that. Like you fucking nerd.
I think he's more that kind of like Latino gang thing is a big problem.
It's like postcode wars, isn't
like,
it?
It's like, why is he?
Yeah.
Why is he sort of bringing
if
up?
If he
that?
Come out with N19, which is the postcode for Holloway and Archway,
yeah,
I would sort of, I wouldn't Ooh. Go, cool.
I bet you've got a scooter.
Yeah.
I bet you've stolen someone's phone, you rotter. But yeah, it is. I think it's an uncomfortable reference. I think for because it's gang.
He's not in a gang.
He's not. He's allowed.
He's a tiny millionaire, and he's been, you know, at the top of his sports profession since he was about 18.
Yeah.
You know, stop pretending to be what you're
to be
not.
A hard man.
It's really odd.
I very much like the fact that he is now currently like wrestling with his son.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Got a big fan of that.
Yeah, same here. I like that. I'm very keen on it. I like as well because the Mexican tradition as well, a lot of the time that you are sort of like having things passed down to you by the generation before. So he is, of course, Rey Mysterio Jr. Mm. There was his uncle who was Rey Mysterio, the original. Mm. Although, oddly, Rey Mysterio, the original, was not a particularly well-known performer in Mexico. His son became much more popular. But I like that dynastic thing they do in Mexican wrestling.
Big fan of that.
Yeah, huge. Randy Orton is his opponent. Orton clearly in this match does enjoy working with Rey Mysterio because he's one of the few people you can really lob about. Everyone else is your size, but Rey comes in and he is, you know, a good head and a bit shorter. So you can just go, I'm going to pick him up and fling him. That's all I remember of that match.
No.
I think Rey Mysterio won it.
He does his 619.
Everyone's winning these matches in under 8 minutes as well.
They're quite short, aren't they?
Yeah.
But they feel empty.
Even
if they run to out 6 or 7 minutes, they feel empty.
It just feels like people are... There's something I've noticed, and I noticed this with watching that WCW from 2000. Mm. In that, everyone is looking like they're trying to win and they're aggressive and they're attacking. And in this, they're doing a dance. They're not going for the win. They're not. You don't have that sense of them trying to win. They're trying to fill the time before they go to the end. Mm. And it just, you're right about it feeling empty. It does feel empty. It feels like everyone's just going through the motions. And that's true of every single one of these matches. Every single one of them. The second match is Jeff Hardy versus The Miz. And
of course, The Miz is here. Yay!
It's the best in the world. Why would you not have The Miz in it? And why would you not actually have The Miz go through to the final? I can remember nothing about this. I remember at one point Miz just running and doing a very slow drop kick into Jeff Hardy in the corner.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, you know, if you were given that opportunity and someone said you're going to have a match with Jeff Hardy and you went, I might do one of his moves at him, but badly and slowly. Nobody's pleased to be doing this.
No.
None of them.
Yeah, it's so bloody dull.
It is.
All of it.
The other thing is with this is they could have, if they'd have had Jeff Hardy go over, we would have got that next round match would have been Jeff Hardy versus Rey Mysterio. And you'd go, looking forward to seeing that.
That's going to be exciting.
Every single option they have for this, they go with the worst one. So tournaments, like in the Wrestling Classic that we watched, that you end up getting some matches that you'd never see, like Randy Savage versus the Dynamite Kid. Mm. What a really exciting thing. And that's, you could do that because it's just a tournament and it doesn't matter. Mm. You know. And instead of going, yeah, well, let's give up some fun ones. Wouldn't it be nice, Jeff Hardy versus Seth Rollins? No.
No.
Let us engineer it so that we end up with The Miz versus fucking Dolph Ziggler, okay? Third match is Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley. Here comes the Kingslayer, says Michael Cole. Be careful shouting that.
You'll be in big trouble, mate.
You will be in serious trouble.
Who's this Leo Rush character? He's so small.
Leo Rush is brilliant. Mm. He's a really, really, a really, really gifted performer. At this point, he was, I think, working as a cruiserweight. I think they moved him to the main roster and they couldn't really find anything for him. But what he was an amazing mouth. Mm. Slightly annoying, some would say. I think he's brilliant. And he was just a good mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley is the complete package, if by the complete package you mean everything apart from being able to speak on the mic. And so Bobby Lashley has always needed mouthpieces. Mm. And so they gave him Leo Rush. And Leo Rush was really instrumental in making Bobby Lashley a bigger deal at this point. He didn't last for long. He was sort of, I think like anyone who knows their own value in wrestling, very quickly the WWE became tired of him basically saying, I think I deserve better than what you're giving me. And they did get rid of him. Since then, he's been back on the independent scene and he did some stuff over WrestleMania weekend for Game Changer Wrestling, where he is phenomenal in the ring. Mm. He is a very young and clearly very smart guy. I think he's got a huge upside. But you can see in this bit, I think, I have a feeling like when he's doing this, he is about 22.
Yeah.
Imagine being 22 and doing this. You're in Saudi Arabia and you're hyping up Bobby Lashley, you know, and you're fighting a company who don't really value you.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's really, really good. Michael Cole tries to explain that Lashley is in this because Baron Corbin has beaten up Finn Balor.
Oh yeah, all this
on,
stuff was
on
mad.
SmackDown,
yeah.
and so then to get revenge or something, John Cena's been taken out, and it's just that thing of going, you've come up with a as best you can to sort of go, John Cena isn't here, not because he found it sickening,
no, yes,
but because of Baron Corbin and Finn Balor, just a really confusing sort of sense. Just don't mention it. Don't mention it. No one cares. No one cares. Incredibly unmemorable match.
Yeah, I can't remember. A lot of these, I didn't write anything down. They just sort of washed over me.
It's impossible. I watched some of these twice. I watched some of them twice because I felt the first time when it ended, I was like,
I just didn't go in. I've just got nothing to say about that.
It's like someone sort of like, I don't know, like going in your face. And you sort of go, is that a match? Was that a match? You know? And you look at it back and you sort of go, yeah, I saw all this.
Yeah.
And yet it can't stick.
No.
Last of the first rounds is your Kurt Angle versus Dolph Ziggler. Again, you know, we could have had Angle versus Bobby Lashley, Angle versus Seth Rollins. That would have been more exciting.
I don't know what it is about Dolph Ziggler. He just makes everything so anonymous. I've never really sort of...
Yeah.
He just looks like a...
I've said before that I think he was given a bad hand and that he could have been something. But actually, when I watch stuff like this, I just go, no, actually, I was really wrong. You're part of the problem. All these people who go out there and it looks fine, but it just lacks any heart. Mm. It just lacks any passion. And, you know, there's a thing here as well with Kurt Angle where he was on the last year of his career. He was going to be retiring at the next WrestleMania. Mm. And they knew this. And yet they could have done that thing of going, well, what we could do here is we could get him in there and he could make it through to the finals. And that will be a sort of nice thing for him. And it'd be a nostalgia thing. That is the only storyline at play in this stupid little tournament.
Yeah.
That you go, can Angle still hang? Mm. And instead, they just have him lose. They have him lose here. And it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
They should have had him just go, I'm going to wrestle you, I'm going to be on the mat. But instead they go, you need to wrestle like everybody else. So then he looks slow and ponderous and you sort of begin, he is looking at this point like a ham knuckle. He's looking, he's got big sort of thick bacony sausage lips and his tongue is sort of like too big for his mouth. And it's awful. It's awful. And the worst thing about this, of course, you get to the end of these four matches, which are just like puffs of fucking fetid air, and you know you're going to have to see some of them do it again because it's
because they're
going to
be back. Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't want to see more of this.
Sweet fucking God. The next match we have is the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, The Bar versus The New Day. Mm. The New Day go up on a flying carpet on the way in to the ring.
Yeah, it could not look more like a pneumatic platform. It's just we all know what's under there.
It's barely a carpet on top. It's just a platform.
It's awful, isn't it?
You can see, you know, they've put a carpet on the thing, but the carpet by its very nature is flat and thin, and so it's just men on a plinth.
Yeah, just on one of those kind of old.
I timed how long that entrance was. Right, it was 4 minutes.
Jeez.
And, no, I think, you know, 4 minutes. You might think, oh, that's not that long. You know. But when you're watching just a plinth inch along.
It's just it's like the ones you see in a big atrium in a big office.
Yeah.
Someone's just fixing a window.
And it moves slowly. Yes. And you know it's not going to think of going, you've got to watch this because, you know, in a minute it's going to fall and then everyone's going to roll off. You're just like, what's going to happen is it's going to get to where it needs to get. It's going to lower and then they're going to get in the ring. And that is exactly what happens. Oh, my. It's so boring. It's so slow.
Yeah.
You then get The Bar coming out. Big Show is in their corner. Again, you dip into a show and there's storylines that have happened before and after that. Well, you know, you would not need to know this.
Mm.
You will never see it again. You've just come in and you're like, oh, so he did that then. Okay. It will never have any bearing. Big Show is now a bad guy for having to change his heel face status every 10 minutes, being a big part of his career. Mm. He's now with The Bar. Nobody remembers this. None of it matters. Nothing is good. They go on and have what I thought when I was watching it was probably the best match of the entire show.
Mm.
But that is, I mean, again, that is not me saying this is good.
No.
I've written okay. That's it. That's that's all you can hope for.
Yeah.
It is amazing that people go across the world and I don't know that this is a big show and they know it's going to be there forever.
Mm.
And yet everyone can just go, I ain't got, no. I'm just going to go with a flaw. I'm going to go be flat. It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh, Pete, we get the semi-finals. Miz versus Mysterio.
That's what we wanted. That's what we wanted.
Oh, Miz. Ugh.
11 minutes of it. 11 minutes of the Miz versus Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio works hard.
Rey Mysterio.
But I don't want to see this. Then we have Rollins versus Ziggler. I have no notes on that at all.
I said an okay match, but I don't like Dolph Ziggler. And it's just, there was an advert for WrestleMania afterwards. And it kept on saying, there's an advert for WrestleMania. Tickets available, 2 weeks. Doesn't say the tickets available in 2 weeks. Yeah. It just says 2 weeks. What does that mean?
Arrogant.
Weeks. Yeah.
Arrogant.
Weeks. If you want them, 2 weeks. You're
That's a funny
them.
Thing as well, because they do leave the old adverts in.
Yes.
They're not dynamic like podcasts, which is the way
dynamically
forward.
Dynamically served.
I wonder if you rang that number and they said, we don't have tickets, you could say, I'm taking
two
you to
weeks.
Court.
You said 2 weeks, you said liars. 2 weeks. And it's been past 2 weeks.
There is nothing
shit.
Here that says, don't ring this number, like they have on the X Factor.
Yes.
Yes.
On the one that they have on
Wouldn't
a Sunday
morning.
Would it
be great if that's how the WWE was brought down?
Yeah, just somebody goes, hang on.
Yeah, I'm going to ring this number and make a scene. Good. They deserve to be shut down. We get a WWE Championship match. AJ Styles, the champion, versus Samoa Joe. Mm. Because Daniel Bryan is not coming.
Right.
Joe is really, really good here. He's been recently fired from WWE after the last WrestleMania.
Right.
Bit of a surprise. Mm. No one really saw it coming. He'd been injured for some time and he'd been doing commentary, which he was actually excellent at. Mm. So the firing is a bit strange, but it's slightly... Watching this, was I was like, oh God, he really is good. Mm. And you are reminded that he was slightly underutilized in his entire WWE run because he could have been a great heel champion. I'm going to cough.
Good point.
I actually needed to tick off, I can tell you, from the moment I said he's been fired. And then I was desperate to get it out and time it. Very much so. By this point, if you'd been watching it at the time, AJ and Smojo had been feuding for month after month after month.
Right.
And having been slotted back in for Daniel Bryan, I think people were a bit like, oh, you know, can we not see any more of these matches, please? Mm. That is a sort of bit of an indictment against Joe and AJ. Not an indictment, it's unfair, because over the 12 years that they have sort of worked together, both in the Indies and WWE and TNA, they always have good matches. They just have a great sort of chemistry. And I think there's always the part of that thing of them having been wrestling each other for a decade, you always quite like to see them back in the ring together.
Yeah.
There's something enjoyable about that. Joe, for me, when I look at him, he's a proper pro wrestler. He's a big lad. And he's got a big, mean face. And he's good in the ring. And I like to watch him perform.
Where's he going to go if he's just left WWE?
I think his options are open to wherever he wants to go. Mm. I think he'll either be in AEW or New Japan.
Mm.
I know he obviously is getting older than he was. And I think maybe New Japan might be a bit taxing for someone who's had some injuries over the years. But I think, you know, the one thing he got to do in WWE, which he's never really got to do before, was show how good he is at talking.
Yeah.
And I think that that is another facet to what was already a sort of really impressive bow. Mm. Facets and impressive bows, strange way of explaining it. I did actually have a look. He's not actually a Samoa Joe. He's a Samoa Joel. His real name is Nufolau Joel Sinoa. He was trained by Cincinnati Red and Johnny Hemp, who sound like sort of 1950s dope dealers. Cincinnati Red, Johnny Hemp. Styles here has got long hair and it's gone very glossy, a bit like a lady from the 1970s. It's beautiful hair. Really, yeah. Really nice. I slightly sort of thought that's that thing about WWE where you travel and there's a hairdresser. And
right, okay.
If you want, you can constantly go, I'm going to need my hair done again. Imagine having your hair done every day.
But I think, yeah, it's set properly as well. Like it has always been... That's what I've never really liked about him. Even with his little beard, it's kind of tidied him up a little bit.
Mm.
I just think his hair is too shiny.
Yeah.
And he's gone on holiday and he's found some new stuff to put in his hair.
Yeah.
Duty free.
I reckon he might use dog shampoo.
Yes.
It's just one of those things.
There's something about him I just can't. I think he might be like an Ewok dressed up or something. I just think there's something going on there.
He is, of course, Pete, a fundamentalist Republican Christian from the deep south of America.
Look, that's what you get with wrestlers. That's what you get.
He stated, God first and family second is his mantra for life.
Cool.
That's a weird one. You'd think it would be like God and family at all times or something. Something that didn't sort of specifically go family second. Well, I want to say family second.
It makes you think what he's going to do in an avalanche.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
you know, like he's got his priorities there, hasn't he?
You see, I hesitate to even joke about the fact that my mantra for life would be fit birds first and family second. But if you think of, like, you know, God being very important, fit birds are very important to me, Pete.
Yeah.
Very important.
Fine.
Very important.
Very important to everyone.
AJ Styles believes that man walked with the dinosaurs, and he has questioned on numerous occasions as to whether the earth is flat.
Good.
He's never actually said he believes the earth is flat.
No.
He said he's read some stuff that really does make you think.
Always the way, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Always the way.
He became a Christian when he was in high school, and he recalled in an interview the exact night that it happened. He and his friends went to see a play called A Judgment House. And in that play, you follow two characters, a boy and a girl, a deep characterization going on there. And a boy and a girl get into a car wreck and one goes to heaven and one goes to hell.
It sounds like he was already going to a religious play.
They say he saw a play.
Yeah.
This isn't a play. This is one of those fundamentalist Christian things that they put on. And they're trying to scare people into doing it. He said, AJ watched the play, A Judgment House, and he said, I knew I didn't want to go to hell. He said, I remember them saying, if anybody wants to give their lives to Jesus, please raise your hands. We all had our eyes closed, and I was amongst my friends, and I thought everyone would raise their hands, and they didn't. I was the only one. That night, I accepted Jesus and my life started changing.
I just think that he probably thinks wrestling is real then. He sounds like that kind of chap.
He's talked about how his faith has made wrestling quite hard. Mm. Number of times he's sort of been like, you know, well, the angles on television, I don't agree with that sort of thing. He's also in the indies been.
But I will take the money. I will take the money. It's very clear.
Yeah, I'm a wrestler through and through. It doesn't matter whether I agree with it or not. It is a business decision. He's been done in, over the years for using homophobic language in indies. Mm. You know, quite often referring to other wrestlers. You know, in sort of like, you know, on mic tirades.
Yeah, F's.
Yeah, mm. Those ones. He's talked about temptation. He said there are some things that may be a little bit harder in wrestling for me as a Christian, because there are attractive women around. Oh. But you can't forget who you are and what you have. I love my wife, I love my kids, and at the end of the day, is it really worth it to live with that guilt? I do like, you have to be a Christian to not cheat on your wife.
That's the only thing we do.
Yeah.
Like all us Christians, as proper Christians, we do not cheat on our wives.
You cheat on your wives. Yeah. Well, you know, I just like his, it can be a little bit hard because there's attractive women around, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it harder. Everyone else getting to do it.
You'd want
to
ask what hair care they used to. Yeah. Hair conditioner.
I was only asking her how she got so shiny.
You stupid woman. She had swallowed a bone. He's doing a René from Lower Law, but as a South. The man from the South.
I like the whole woman. Mixing of a sort of René Artois, AJ Styles.
Yeah, and then ending right in Pakistan for some fucking reason. You stupid woman.
AJ Styles does say that he can school almost any rapper on the history of Christian hip hop. He is a huge Christian hip hop fan. Mm. His love affair with Christian hip hop began in the mid-90s when his wife, then girlfriend, I hope they hadn't had sex, bought him a DJ Dove tape. He then went to a Christian bookstore called Celebration, and he bought the entire rap section of artists on the Grape Tree record label.
Little bunts.
Some of his favourites were Lil Rascal, FTF, and LG Wise. He said that the 116 crew, holy cow, all those guys. I want to do it as René.
Stupid woman.
The 116 crew, holy cow, all those guys. Triple E, Lecrae, Tadashi, those guys are tearing it up. It's amazing to hear those guys. His favourite is Lecrae. He's always doing something special, he says. But he also says that NF is killing it.
The National Front.
I know. I don't like NF.
I don't like NF as a synonym, not synonym, whatever it is.
As acronym.
Acronym.
In 2017, he liked an Islamophobic tweet. Mm-hmm. Someone had written some weirdo. I mean, they're all weirdos. But someone had written about Italy being overwhelmed, their words, not mine, by 13,500 African migrants arriving. And a guy called Neil Bortz had written, "Once again, they are not African migrants, they're Muslim invaders."
Muslim.
Fucking brilliant.
Every time.
But AJ Styles had liked that. He didn't unlike it until a lot of people had flagged it up and said, "Oh, what are you doing liking that?"
Yeah.
And he certainly didn't say, "Oh, Daddy got a sticky wicket,"
I did that last week. One of our contributors to one of our football podcasts she posted something and some fucking bellend she wrote something just dreadful. And as I was scrolling up on Instagram,
I've done it before.
It went bang, love her. I was like, oh, fuck, she's going to see that. Like, of all of the things, and people going, great show. I just think it's really important of things you said. And then this guy going, me going, click. Oh, no, fuck.
No, I did like that.
But if I click that and I click off immediately, I don't think it's going to change quick enough. I think it'll stick around for a little while.
Always a worry.
It really pulls you into the arms
sometimes,
of the burner account.
When I've got like a half hour and I'm like, I've read all of the internet, what I will do is I will type in an offensive word of a racial origin
into Twitter and just hover your hand.
No. I'll then look through them and I'll go, okay, let's go on a banning spree. And so then I start reporting. I report people. I just go out there. Some of these people are like, you know, I've got, you know, 12 followers, but it's like, if you use that word and I find it, you're reporting.
Yeah, you're reporting. Yeah, nice.
People would just go, I don't know.
Oh, that's cracking.
I just like, do you know what I'm like, Batman? I'm cleaning up the streets and it's very, it's very satisfying. It
you,
really
but
is.
But do you get like the sweet kiss of knowing that you've had someone banned? Do you go back and check?
Yes.
Do you start a database?
Yes.
Oh, my.
No. You get a thing from Twitter.
Oh, do you? Saying
we wanted to inform you that this person has let themselves down and here's violated our thing. I sit there and go, here's nice.
Here's your money, the dog best, the bounty hunter.
The best bit is when they come back and they write, thanks to the arsehole who got me banned. And I'll go straight in there. He's being offensive.
Oh,
it's good. But
bless
you. When I've done those a couple of times,
you've accidentally retweeted.
I've retweeted and I've typed above it. Actually, this does make sense.
I'm not going to deny that this is the case. But
yeah, I started this as an attempt to just like weed out the racists. But having read this, does make you think. Picture of a glass of milk. CM Punk at the while Black Lives Matter was going on, there were a lot of wrestlers, of course, speaking very honestly and openly about the movement. And I think someone had asked why AJ Styles hadn't said anything. And CM Punk just put up a brief thing sort of going, well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Right.
So there are rumours that, I think AJ is a... maybe not a modern man. That's what we can say. But he does like Christian hip-hop. I do like the fact that as well, you're like... I do like hip-hop.
Mm.
But... I also like Christianity, and Christian hip hop is therefore better than normal hip hop.
Yeah,
it's not.
Though, is it?
Anytime you start going, let's reduce it.
Yeah.
If I said like, because I'm not Christian, but I am from North London, and if I went, the best rap is North London rap.
Yeah,
that would be Miss Dynamite and Lady Sovereign. So actually, it doesn't really work because that is the best.
That
rap.
Is true. Yeah, that is true. Exactly. But I think when you are, to be fair, rappers do have frequently very similar themes on their songs, and as any musicians do. But Christian, it's a metallic taste that you don't need.
Mm.
I think you can. There are enough recording artists that don't expressly say that they are Christian rock, but they are Christians.
Yeah,
and you know, bands like Evanescence never get counted as a Christian band, but I'm fairly certain they've kind of flirted with the Christian rock
scene.
It's
funny how a bit like the racist scene, you sort of go, some of the names suggest that they're part of this, and they're never quite open about it.
Yeah.
Unless you already know.
The
Christians
exactly.
Are racist exactly.
You already
the same
need
when it
to
comes
know
to hip-hop.
The numbers and the thing and the references.
Yeah.
And like what screwdriver we're talking about,
etc. I don't know why people have to listen to stuff that's all about. I don't listen to music and go, it has to be what I'm into.
But I was tricked by the band DC Talk at So Long You're Gone. Cracking slice of kind of emotional pop rock in the late 90s. Uh-huh. Great video, a lot of money spent on it. It is astoundingly good.
Mm.
And then I found out they would reinvent themselves every couple of years to be a different thing. Sometimes
right.
It'd be rap, sometimes it'd be rock, sometimes it'd be like sort of new metal. It was, I was furious.
You gotta have, you hate the inauthenticity.
But there was no mention. It was just about the excesses of being a rock star, this song. And I was like, well, look, everyone, you know, it's good.
It's a bit like Lana Del Rey.
Right.
That is essentially a sitcom character that's been created. And I go, I sing everything as this character.
Yeah.
And I sort of go, I do like it, but there is a part of me that sort of goes, it's a bit weird.
It's a bit weird.
It's a bit weird.
It's like, why do I not listen to Poppy, but I listen to Lana Del Rey, when she's just sort of like this kind of weird Twin Peaks woman.
Yes.
In a ball gown in the valley.
Another successful woman put down on a podcast. Proud days. I was thinking, I did actually, after I'd said that thing about Lady Sovereign, I thought, I don't listen to like just Lady Sovereign. And then I was like, I do like listening to Lady Sovereign. So I had a look to see what she was doing. The answer is not good.
Right, okay.
Not good. She's
What's
just,
she up to? She's just still got that.
Not recorded anything since 2009.
Well, she's probably doing fine then. She probably just hasn't recorded
she
anything.
Mentioned
for a
she
mentioned
she was on Celebrity Big Brother, and she mentioned that on air she came out as gay.
Yeah.
And she said they didn't even use it. It's all like heartbreaking.
That would have been, Sovereign
I know,
these days.
I look at it, I sort of go, that's really right on.
Yeah.
But you just sort of go, so? So yeah. Who cares? And I go, great. But I did read that, and I did think, oh, that must have been, you come out and you'd watch that and go, I've watched it all, but I must have missed it.
They didn't do anything.
That seemed
on it.
Like something would definitely be in.
Even when I got kicked out.
Yeah. No, not a word. She remains the only non-American woman to be signed to Def Jam Records.
Is that right?
Yeah, personally by Jay-Z.
That isn't. I mean, look, we've all woken up after buying something on eBay.
Well, love me or hate me, still an obsession. We are going to be looking at the final three matches.
The final three matches.
We're going to be doing that next week.
Chunk.
It is. I do want to apologise to everyone because I thought.
Why? Why did you do?
I thought this would be a right laugh.
We're not talking about the show
because the show
was so shite.
It makes me feel so sad. It's actually, I was thinking, if someone said to me, all wrestling's going to be like this from now on, I go, well, that's it.
I'm absolutely very much done. And also, you are still in the sort of tepid afterglow of WrestleMania weekend. So you're still feeling it a little bit, aren't you?
There is a part of me that worries that this is more like the future of mainstream WWE wrestling than anything else.
Yes.
That it will just be this and they just go, well, what does it matter? Oh, sorry. You want to dictate the way it goes. Are you going to pay us £60 million for one show? No, okay.
But
well,
it is
yeah,
that
carry on.
The modern life is just kind of, it's that kind of hashtag my Dubai kind of like the idea of success and achievement. And, you know, I'm the little kids in my life, you know, friends' kids and stuff who were, you know, cracking on for like 17, 18. And that's what they're into.
Yeah.
They want their big Range Rover and they want to be an influencer and they want to go to Dubai and they want to go to Saudi Arabia. They want to go to all these places, but not experience any of the culture, just experience your culture kind of put through a weird tube.
With better weather.
Well, unspeakably.
Better weather and no old people. That's what it is.
It is.
It's just.
Sounds quite good, actually, to be fair.
I know. I always think, you know, Dubai seems to me a place for people who just want to get blowjobs.
Where's that come from?
That's what I see.
What's blowjobs?
Anyone.
Anyone.
Oh, mate.
Anyone,
oh,
mate.
Oh, mate. Went to Dubai, got a totally...
Got a blowjob.
Got an amazing blowjob. Mate.
Of all of the things, I want to get the...
They're blowjob men. That's what they are. They're all blowjob men. Oh, babe. What up? How about a blowjob?
Well, that was an astonishing...
Blowjobs are the worst of sex, by the way. They are absolutely the worst thing. Handjobs are even worse.
No, handjobs are... Why are we even ending like this? The repressive Saudi government have got us doing this, try and like naughty this up.
Pete, we have signed to be part of Saudi Arabia Vision 2030. We are here to make it a fun place. One of the things they want to really get across... Is that
blowjobs?
Yeah, in
2030. Don't do it in the street.
2030.
Don't touch your ladies'
British
hand
people
in the street.
Blowjob Dubai. That's the
hashtag my blowjob. Hashtag my Dubai.
Hashtag my blowjob in my Range Rover is a big one. Yeah. Hashtag my blowjob in swimming pool.
Yeah,
that's another one.
Hashtag my blowjob
no culture. That's another one.
Hashtag my blowjob. Hashtag no passport. Hashtag taken passport. Hashtag got come up with some agreement with your employer before you can have passport. Hashtag go back to Indonesia. Hashtag the Gulf.
The Gulf. Oh, blowjob me, Peter!
Blowjob Mark!
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.